Welcome to Wellness Renaissance and Gluten-Free and Other Special Diets podcast, supporting you on your unique journey to finding your best health.
Welcome, this is Judy B, and this is episode 9 of the Wellness Renaissance podcast, and Joel's with me today.
Hello.
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 Today we're going to dive in and tackle the discussion around movement or exercise. And I almost hate the word exercise because it feels like such a thing and it feels like so much work. I want to address the topic of movement or exercise, as it's more commonly called. I just don't really like the word very much because it feels like work. It feels like this particular thing we have to do, like this sort of idea of this thing. And part of what this is about and why I want to talk about this is some findings that we're going to be talking about and presenting a little bit at the end or more towards the end that brings it a little more down to movement and less about it being exercise. But I think just so you don't press pause when you hear the word, oh goody, we're talking about exercise.
Right. I'm kind of right with the audience there. It's not my favorite thing.
But if you don't like to sweat and get your heart beating super fast, then keep listening because there is stuff in here for everybody. And there is stuff in here for everybody, quite honestly. This maybe in the grand scheme of our discussion today kind of serves more of the people who don't love exercise and kind of find it a little bit of a struggle to get moving or to keep themselves motivated to move. But there is some interesting pieces that are helpful for people who are athletes as well. So like I said, I feel like exercise has this connotation that makes it big and sometimes creates this barrier of, oh, I need to go exercise. And I think it stops, it sometimes can stop people from doing it and actually getting the movement and almost go the other way.
Right. Well, and doesn't it, this is from my totally uneducated perspective, but I think a couple of years back, somebody had mentioned to me that just the act of, it does come back to that, what am I trying to say? It does come back to that doctor advice that I started hearing maybe 10, 15 years ago of it. Exercise doesn't need to be as much a thing, but the movement of just park 4 spots back from where you normally would and move just a little bit extra when you go out to the store, or just don't try to minimize exercise, is just as important as getting out and working out, so to speak.
Right. And yeah, I mean, and those things do tangibly add up for sure.
Right.
And that's exactly like kind of where we're going to end up in some of the discussion about that.
Yeah.
because it needs to not be minimized, and we need to maximize that basically. But yeah, I think that we've been really disserviced, and I've thought this for a long time, and this gets brought up in I teach some pre-diabetes prevention classes, and movement is a huge part of it. And this is a conversation that we're always having, and I'm sure if any of my people that take my class are listening, they're like, belabored at this point. But it's a thing. It is one of the key pieces. You know, food and movement are pretty important pieces to our health. So, you know, we have this idea of working out, and it's this thing that we do. You either work out or you don't work out. And I think, so we kind of have this divided binary thing going on that I think, again, disserves a lot of us.
Right. Well, and I'm, from my perspective, totally being one of those people who do not work out, certainly not at the peak of where my health could be. But I always think about my aunt, who, again, she doesn't work out, but she moves so much more and just does more. Mm-hmm. And I think ends up being quite a bit more healthy because of it. She's just always doing whatever she needs to do.
Right, right. And being physically active and moving things and being, you know, getting in there and just doing stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Right, exactly. And my dad, kind of a similar thing too. My dad is very functional fitness. He was a maintenance guy. He's always, I mean, my dad did a lot of different things, but when he was a maintenance guy, he was, even though he was the oldest maintenance man on the crew, he was typically the first one to offer to get stuff done. And he would get really frustrated because some of the other guys, and I'm sorry, but they were all men, were the people who went to the gym 3, 4, 5 times a week, but they wouldn't help him move a fridge. And they didn't want to do that. And so my dad's like, what's the point of going to the gym if you can't move a fridge. Like, my dad never went to the gym ever in his life. I mean, I don't know what they did when he was in the army. That probably counts. But it's, yeah. It's just that he, you know, and he's living, a friend of ours whose dad is younger than mine, but you know, he's in his, I think, 70s, and he's just like super strong. It's this farmer fitness thing that we don't get anymore. And yes, part of it is probably genetic to a point,
It's,
right. But it is also because it's happening and you're constantly moving and you're constantly just doing stuff. And the more you keep doing stuff, the more you can keep doing stuff. So the more you do stuff, which keeps you able to do stuff.
Right. Yep.
But this binary kind of workout, not workout thing, I think has people lost in the middle of the road about how to, you know, if you don't have a physical job, if you aren't that natural sports person. I mean, that's how some desk job people, they spend, you know, a few nights a week. They love sports. And that is so fantastic that if you love that and you go do what you love, it makes fitness really a much easier thing for you to attain.
Right.
But not everybody is talented at sports. Not everybody loves sports or has grown up into sports. And one of the things that I think we need everywhere, and I'd love to see this in Duluth, and there are people who are doing little pieces of this, we need more opportunities for sort of extreme beginner sports. So people who, like, I'm at a point, I grew up not playing sports for multiple reasons. And now I'm at a point where, you know, I wouldn't mind trying some of these things, but who's going to go, like, help? Who's going to go facilitate that? You know, and I'm certainly not going to go try to get into games that I don't really know anything about or I'm not really good at. We need an opportunity. Somebody needs to create the, you know, you haven't shot a basket for 30 years. Come on over and really have this more fun based. Everybody's where they're at. But you kind of get to start with whatever you do. And it is about moving, but it's about figuring out how to just have those experiences. Because maybe you get kind of good at something, or maybe you get really good at something and you discover, I really, really like doing this. But you didn't know that was an option for you because you've never had the chance. And I think there's people who would really take advantage of that. And to give some examples that we have in Duluth that I think are really important. And I give a lot of credit because I see with my own eyes the changes that this has made for people. So the biggest example that I have is that we have a shoe store here in West Duluth called The Tortoise and the Hare. And The Tortoise and the Hare has not only great shoes, but they have, in the spring, they have Zilch to 5K, which is run by Eve Graves, who has worked with beginners for a lot of years. So she's got a lot of experience and she's really skilled. Her goal is to help people get moving wherever they're at. And she literally does mean that. It's not. So for instance, I've gotten feedback from people who have gone to some other places where they do either a couch to 5K or a beginning running class. And I know one woman was saying their beginning running class, the first night they ran 2 miles. And that's a,
oh geez.
Yeah. That's an experienced beginner runner, right? That's really intimidating to somebody who's never run.
Yeah, I would never come back to that second class.
Right, exactly. And
that first night, if we run more than a half a block, I'm going to be on the floor.
So it's right. And that's very intimidating for somebody who says, you know, I kind of want to try this, but, you know, not sure. And for Eve's class, you start out wherever you're at. And maybe that means you're walking the whole night. And she has people in class that have been taking her class for multiple years and they're still walking. And maybe it's because they have an injury or maybe it's, you know, multiple reasons, whatever that is. But then she also has people who they actually do get to the 5K. And then she's got people who a few years down the road are running grandma's marathon, literally running grandma's marathon. So she's taking people and getting them into moving, right, wherever they're at, and then they can go wherever they want to go from there.
Gotcha.
What a real solid gift. And I mean, it really, she has changed people's lives and given them experiences that they probably would never have without that. And I think that's great. And I know, I think we need more of that. I don't. You know.
I wonder if, I mean, and this might just be our education. I mean, you've certainly looked at it more than I have, but I remember back when I was a much younger person, because I played racquetball, there was a thing called, I think it, if my memory serves, it was called volleyball.
Oh, interesting.
Which always kind of annoyed me because it was very loud, because it was played in a racquetball court.
Okay.
But it was essentially it was volleyball played in a racquetball court where you could use any wall.
Okay.
So it was much more low key. It was very just you have a ball, a bouncy ball that you play volleyball with, but it was more social. So it was just as long as you got the ball over to the other side. However that happened, right. It happened.
That's interesting. Right.
And I think it was introduced kind of in that concept of let's just get together at that point, drink a lot of, beer and be social and bash a ball around the court. So maybe it was that tone of just let's just essentially because it kind of harkens back to kickball. There is no grand rules in kickball. I mean, I know there are, but mostly it's just about kicking a ball as hard as you can. And just having fun with it, but it was a huge workout. And some people obviously took it to a point where it was competitive and all that, but mm-hmm. most of the ones games I always saw was just 10, 15, well, I don't know how many people fit in there, but let's say 7 to 8 women screaming at each other and having a good time. there's got to be some of that around still. That it's more of not the bar league, because you don't want to focus on beer, because then you're right. just shooting yourself in the foot fitness-wise.
It's a start, and if it's what gets you there, that's great. But can we have some that aren't bar leagues? Because not all of us want that.
Right, but the concept of the casual fun still gets you moving and gets your heart pumping.
Right. No, for sure. And I know, and this is a little bit more of a commitment and a financial commitment, et cetera. But one of the things we did as part of the Zilch to 5K group is we went up to one of the CrossFit places up by the mall. And I was really impressed. I'd love to, it would be an interesting thing to do because this is what impressed me with their attitude is they also wanted to take people from wherever they were at. But one of the examples they gave is, if you come in here and you can't do a pull-up, and you want to do a pull-up, we do this and this and this and this and this as a way to help you get to be able to do a pull-up and then pull-ups. And I was like, I want to do that. Because I can't do a pull-up. And I'm just like, if I could have that type of help and assistance and whatever, yeah, that's what I want. So I'm just, being welcoming, which is a big deal. And right. if people feel comfortable, but it's being aware that those types of places exist and then we need to have them, more of them in the first place. So I have to say, when I was thinking about talking about this today, I was thinking about the word workout. And I was like, where does that word even come from? Where does workout even come from? Because I was thinking, so
you're... Jekyll Lane, maybe?
No. So, because I was thinking, we talk about working out, but we typically, this isn't true for everybody, but a lot of us have to go in to work out. and it's like, we didn't used to work out. You lived your life and you were active or you weren't as active, but grandmas didn't have running shoes and they didn't have workout clothes and they didn't have gym memberships. So where did this come from? And what I learned in my little research is that at least what one website said, and I'll be honest, I didn't spend a super amount of time to fact check this whole thing here. They're talking about probably 100 years ago, and it was boxing jargon. The point.
Oh, interesting.
It's if you run out or play out, the word out being added to indicate all the way. So to completion or exhaustively doing something or until nothing is left. So a workout is is the expanding of effort.
Oh, okay. So, which makes some sense where it's been taken to modern day of working out at an aerobics class, because you do go until you're falling over.
Well, true for everybody, but right. But sometimes it is. I mean, CrossFit is one of those things.
Right. I'm not saying that so it should be. I'm just saying that it makes sense that mentality kind of carries us through to almost the stigma you were talking about of working out being the all or nothing thing. There can't be casual working out.
Right. So if you're not in good enough shape, quote unquote, to go to the gym to work out, you never have the opportunity to get in shape enough, quote unquote, to be able to go to the gym. So it's this self-defeating loop thing that happens. And unless you're, able to work out at home or whatever and get there. But the point is, we've kind of sold ourselves short. with all of this, and we're not helping those who maybe aren't so motivated, or who just they don't feel comfortable. That's something that comes up all the time. I don't feel comfortable going to the gym. I feel out of place. I don't, you know, I feel like people are watching me.
And certainly both men and women.
Yes.
Because I know back when I was working for one of the actually places where I went to a job instead of working from home, there was a gentleman there that was incredibly fit, physically fit, but had been incredibly unphysically fit. Mm-hmm. And we were chatting, and he was always encouraging me to come down and go to the gym after work that was actually at the place of business. Mm-hmm. But then the few times that I did try to get into that habit, since, you know, most of the people were gone by the time I was done with work, mm-hmm. it occasionally crossed paths with him. And he didn't downplay me being there, but he did kind of look at me like, what are you doing here? And it's like, dude, you told me to be here. You know, you're encouraging as long as I don't actually do it.
Right.
And then you give me a slight vibe of that I'm not, yeah, like you said, not physically fit enough to be working out.
Right. Right. And I think that's very true. There are a lot of mixed signals that I think sort of come culturally. Like, I think they're sort of almost ingrained in us until people take a step back and
right.
go, well, wait a minute. If I'm telling you, you shouldn't be at the gym, you're never going to get to be at the gym. Like, you know, we need to be, as a people, we need to think about what we're thinking about when we're judging people in that concept or in that context. I mean, And in reality, I mean, I certainly know that there are a lot of people who are very physically fit who experience that. They feel still self-conscious. And this is why some people are like, if you feel that self-conscious and you're fine, how in the world am I going to step foot in the gym, right?
Gotcha. Yeah.
And so it's a mind over matter thing. And it is a little bit of remembering that if somebody gives you any grief or that, you know, funny little look that maybe you're not even reading right, because maybe they're thinking about their own stuff, but you take it a little personally, that A, you are there to take your care of yourself. You are there to better your health. And maybe they never had to do that. Maybe all of their life they've been either physically fit or, and certainly I've seen this happen too, you get people who are really fit and they weren't at once, and they are kind of in that space of trying to figure their own stuff out and a little, you know, kind of judgment about where they used to be, you know, so their judgment towards you is more the judgment towards their old self,
right?
Basically. And there is a lot of truth to people aren't paying attention to you. They really are more focused and stressed out about their own self than they are about you. And at the same time, I don't want to downplay the experience people have had when they have felt uncomfortable or judged. I mean, I think there are times when people take people's looks wrong because somebody's really not paying attention to them, but they looked through them in a sense. And people perceive it wrong. Yes, that definitely happens. But if you're in a sort of sensitive spot, you take it a little too personal. There are certainly people who, as we've talked about, make those judgments. And I know I've heard some multiple comments, and I have no idea, to be honest, I do not know which gym this is in town, but that people have basically said they were not fit enough to go to that gym, and they were basically told as such.
Oh, wow. That's just sad.
Right, exactly. So the gym is more about keeping up appearances than it is about helping people get healthy. So if you go to that gym, put your money somewhere else, man. Don't even give them the time of day, because if that's their attitude, they're not there for the right reasons. So the sort of end cap of all of that is we need to make it more socially acceptable to exercise and move, whatever that means to people, wherever they are at in their fitness level, so that people can. You know, this is a huge problem in our country and beyond, and we need to find a way to make it just so it just becomes a thing. And then, you know, there are people who are bold and brave enough to go in the middle of the park and exercise and do their yoga, and that's a great thing. So make that welcoming for everybody, so anybody can do that and whatever that looks like for them. Mm-hmm. This is about health outcomes and not just waist sizes and our numbers. And that's what we need to be focusing on.
Yeah, we need a lot more yoga instructors like Ginger Stanton, I think that name is
yep.
her name, right?
That is her name.
I never can remember her last name, and it just kind of flowed out. So it for once flowed out right. But just because she has a book that's very much the wherever you're at, this is how you can get there, yoga-wise. So yeah, yoga just needs to be more of a do it however you come to it.
Right.
Like you're saying, for all the rest of the stuff.
Right. And Ginger is an excellent and very experienced yoga teacher. And she's not the tiniest person in the world.
Right. She gives me hope that I can do yoga.
And she's fantastic. I've I've she's actually come to Duluth and did a yoga, basically a yoga on like how to do yoga wherever you are, kind of exactly what you're saying. She has a book called Yoga for Every Room in Your Home. And it is about how to do yoga wherever you're at in your space. But she talked about it, you know, like at work and all of that stuff, and just makes it really accessible for people to do anywhere. And I think she's a fantastic, I hate to call her an inspiration because that's just an annoying thing to say, but she's a good example. That's probably a better word. She's a really good example. And I know there are YouTube videos of people who are really flexible, who are quite overweight, and really pointing out that, hey, look, wherever you're at, it is about take care of your muscles, take care of your being able to stretch. Those are huge things. Even if you are carrying extra weight, if you have flexibility and you've got strength, that is a huge piece of the puzzle. It does so much for your health, really. We had in one of my diabetes prevention classes, we had a guest come in who's talking about weight training, and her passion really is around weight training and making it accessible for people to help them understand. And I think a lot of us run away from the words weight training. Like we think big weight room, big
right.
barbells, and you're like, yep, I'm not going to do that. So forget it. And her point is, no, a few times a week, you can do a bunch of exercises without weights or with minimal weights that really keep your body functioning well. And I think it's great to keep improving and making yourself stronger. But if your goal is to be strong, I mean, she talked about the fact that we lose how much muscle we lose over time. And I can't remember exactly what the numbers were, but it was kind of like, you know, look, if you aren't doing some of the strength stuff, by the time you're 60, maybe 30 pounds of your muscle or whatever has turned into fat. And so,
right. So from your perspective, how much truth is there to another thing that my aunt has always said, that her grandmother said, so this is, you know, pre-depression era, that as long as she could get down on the floor and get back up without assistance, she was still feeling okay.
I think there is something to that. And I know that's something that people that I have known who work with the older population, that's what their goal is. We want to keep you always be able to get off the floor and for you to be able to open your own jar.
Oh, yeah, that makes sense.
So and remain flexible and that kind of thing. So, no, I do think that's a solid truth. Being able to continue doing what you're doing and not totally, you know, yes, as you age, your body maybe isn't quite work as the way you want to and you can't put your foot behind your head or whatever. But can you maintain some of the basics? And that's what this speaker that we had, that was really her point. And she had a really fantastic presentation that was basically how to do everything in your house. She is trying to make it as little equipment as possible, small weights, starting where you're at. Don't be ashamed of your 1 and 3 pound weights. In fact, sometimes for particular, especially some of the shoulder muscle groups, those are really appropriate to start with because you can really screw your shoulders up. So I loved that. I loved what she was doing, and maybe I'll have her on at some point.
Oh, that'd be fun.
Because yeah, I love that. It is about the everyday strength training. And I think we lose that and people don't know how to do it. And that's what she's trying to help with, is help people figure out, now, how do you just do this? So it becomes a thing that you do in your life and you move forward in a much healthier way.
Gotcha.
All right. So all of that being said, what do we do to get our best movement to serve our health? And quite frankly, that's a really good question. And unfortunately, I don't really have a magic formula or the perfect answer. I have some answers, and those are what I want kind of to talk about, is to present some additional options and, you know, grab for you what works or try some of these things to see if they might be fitting into your life, or you can fit them into your life. So there's certainly different theories out there that we've all heard about how much movement do we actually need. And first, we also have to remember that we're all a little bit different, but you know, we've got the 3 to 5 times a week, making sure you're doing 30 minutes a day with moderate cardio. And some say that just walking 5 times a week is fine, or a couple times a day. Some say it doesn't actually matter how often, just get your 150 minutes in, no matter how you break that up. And then there's bursts. There's the theory that, you know, we used to be, in a sense, chased by tigers, right? So we would run all out as fast as we could to get away from the tiger. And then, you know, so maybe 30, 60 seconds, and who knows how long we ran for tigers a long time ago.
Depends on how successful they were.
Exactly. How far do they actually have to run?
So you're advocating that we release tigers into the world? I kind of like this.
No. Well, I like the ideas of having accessible tigers, but I'm probably not a good idea for the betterment
Well,
of our
we can like
health.
dull their teeth or something, but
Oh, poor little dudes.
well, we trim cats' toenails, we can trim tigers' teeth a little. I don't know. Anyways, your point makes
Anyway,
sense.
so some will say, and we'll talk about this more in depth as we go along, but the whole run full out your 30 minutes, your 60 or your 30 minutes, your 60 seconds, 30, 60 seconds.
Long tiger chases.
but I think So yeah, and you know, I think you need to consider what works for you, what works for your body. Pay attention, try some different things, see what works. We're not all the same, like I said, but also, you know, be thinking about your goals. Are you wanting to feel better? You wanting to build endurance? You want to build to run a particular race? Do you want to just lose weight, gain or regain your health, keep up with your kids? You know, or like we talked about earlier, get off the floor and open a jar. It's, you know, kind of what are you trying to attain? And when I say get off the floor and open a jar, it is that is sort of the general health that we're trying to keep in the big picture. But that's just a good way to kind of assess that, especially as people get older. So if you can find your motivation of what actually, you know, drives you to be healthier, why you want to be healthier, move or more fit or whatever you want to call it. Knowing that can be really helpful in just focusing you on what do you actually want to do? Who do you actually want to maybe work out with, if we want to use that term? Whatever's going to keep you energized or encouraged and actually, you know, actually doing it, which is the key piece, right? So whatever keeps you doing it, that is the key. And that's the thing, you know, all of those pieces pulled together hopefully can be successful. So the boil out is whatever keeps you moving in whatever way you choose to move, that's pretty much the key. And that might change over time, obviously. Time is something certainly that's called out as a huge barrier, whether it's real or perceived. It is definitely something that keeps people from getting the movement that they need. So I want to present a few things to maybe shed a little bit of light on a few ideas that may be helpful in rethinking our time to actually get some movement. So there's a few studies that I just want to walk through quickly, and then I'll get to the one that doesn't involve sweating. So that's a very important one for many people, I'm sure. So one is a small study. It's only looking at 9 healthy males, but they looked at 2.5 minutes of intense exercise. And the point is that that could be potentially just as effective as a 90-minute run. So they did sharp bursts of exercise. So the sharp bursts of exercise may actually be better at preventing heart disease than much longer but less strenuous exercise sessions. So the findings end up being that 30 minutes of brisk walking reduces fat content in the blood by 11%. Those who were doing the short, sharp bursts for 2.5 minutes in total, and I don't recall, and for some reason I don't have it written down as to how they broke out that 2.5 minutes. But I think it's in the study. I'm just surprised I didn't write it in my notes. Anyway, they had 33% drop in fat content, which apparently that's normally found after a 90-minute run. So 2.5 minutes versus 90-minute runs kind of sounds way better. I mean, and that's all out. That's busting it. So, you know, it's not just a 2.5 minute run. It is really moving. So the second study is there were three groups of people. One who didn't change anything, a second group who did an endurance workout routine, which was basically riding at a moderate pace on a stationary bicycle in the lab for 45 minutes. Then the final group did a warm up for 2 minutes on a stationary bike. They pedaled as hard as possible for 20 seconds. They rode at a very slow pace for 2 minutes, sprinted all out again for 20 seconds, slow riding for another 2 minutes, all out for 20 more seconds, and then a cool down for 3 minutes. So it's a workout that takes about 10 minutes. Okay. So again, that sounds pretty good.
Sounds awesome to me.
But basically, what they discovered in the results for this study is that both of the groups who were doing the exercise had pretty much identical gains. So they had an endurance that increased by 20%, an insulin resistance that had improved. And then they actually looked at certain microscopic structures in the men's muscles that are related to energy production and oxygen consumption. So that equaled out too. So the disclaimer I want to toss in there is that there are various benefits, for instance, against cardiovascular disease for doing a longer workout. So it's not something to completely count as useless, but this does present us with different options. And I also want to warn, because it's when you're looking at some of these studies, it's a little frustrating. So they say 2 minutes is all you need, and that it just sounds very simple. It's a very simplified version of the story. And I think there's a bit of an ego that might be in there when we say all you need, and it's sort of a dangerous, it's just dangerous words to use.
Right, that makes sense.
So definitely when you're seeing those headlines, it's good to look at the actual study and go, okay, what are we looking at? Because you're looking at a warm up and a cool down and that kind of thing in these particular studies. Now, that being said, I've certainly read some other studies too, and I'll get into a little more about this into the third study that we're looking at, but where the movement, say taking a minute per hour or 2 minutes per hour and either doing all out movement or even just getting up and walking around. I've seen some where it is just literally getting up and walking around. 1 or 2 minutes an hour is making a difference for people. And that's really good news for people who are in a workplace where they have more of a sit down job. But if you can get up and really make that a constant thing, that might be really beneficial. But it is the consistency that probably comes in there of really trying to be consistent with that as well. So the third study, and for all of you folks who don't like sweating, this is a good one. The focus of the study, the doctor specifically says, if it is something that gets you sweating and breathing hard, this is exactly what we are not focusing on in this study. So yes, you heard that right. If you're breathing hard and you're sweating, they're not talking about it in this particular study. So this particular study is looking from or the doctor is really focusing on diabetes. And so he mentions that the diabetes, it's recommended the 150 minutes a week is recommended, but that only 1 in 10 Americans actually gets that amount, and then even less of the folks with actual diabetes. So this doctor's pointing out, and he's basically saying that perhaps the more intense workouts are being oversold, especially in those with diabetes, where controlling your blood glucose sugar is more important than actually running faster. And he in particular says, and even maybe even more important than losing weight. So he's really saying the control of the blood sugar piece is the big deal here. And he says that moderate to vigorous exercise is healthy, but it isn't protecting us against the other 23 and a half hours a day that we're not doing that. So that's why he's looking at this. His desire is lighter exercise all day instead of a single hard workout. That's his suggestion. So even light housework counts here. And it's a paradigm shift. It's something that we really don't focus on or we don't think about because we've kind of had this focus of the cultural idea of what workouts look like, that we're discounting what can be healthy about some of the basic stuff that we do. And we talked earlier about the fact that you look at family pictures and you old family pictures, right? And you don't see as many overweight people as we do now. And what kind of comes up with that is, so what has changed? And there's a lot of factors that can be at play here. We definitely have a more sedentary culture, and more of us are sitting now at our jobs where that, again, didn't used to be the case. I know we might have talked about this before, but when we were in India, the general culture when we lived in India, you look at the people who live in India and they're all mostly pretty thin. And then when I went into the government offices where people are spending a lot more of their time sitting, it was much of a different ratio of folks that had weight issues. So it was just this open the door and walk in. It was like, wow, when we think of America and the weight issues we have, it was like just such a clear statement of, yep, sitting at a desk all day, not a good thing. I mean, we know that, duh, but it is the reality of, so what do we do? Because everything is going to technology where we're all sitting at our desks more often. And one thing too, you know, another thing that causes that has issue with all of our health and our weight and whatever is stress. And I mean, that's comes up for a ton of health problems. But one of the things that I know you and I have talked about when with the stress and when you think of the hormones that your body is producing with stress is back to that whole being chased by a tiger, right? So we think of our burst training, but then we think about the fact that I know I've heard this multiple times of like whenever your phone goes off. Your body goes into the, you're being chased by a tiger, right? And we think about how many devices we've got, chats on our computer, multiple chats of maybe you got your Facebook and your work and your, you know, and your phone and your emails and all of these things. And so we're all being chased by tigers, you know, how many times an hour, but nobody's actually moving their body. So you know, we've got all these stress hormones that are coming in. And I think it's just a really, I mean, it's a really interesting culture shift. And it's going to be interesting to see how our bodies respond to this. If it is the whole, you do respond, you know, when your phone goes off or whatever, it's the, you know, you're internally something is actually happening there. And there's actually effects going on in our body that affect how we handle our weight and a lot of aspects of our health.
It'd be a fascinating thing to kind of substitute that. So when you actually did get that phone text or email or whatever, that you actually had to like run around your desk a few times to chase, quote, quote, or get chased by the tiger and see if that would actually make your body behave more naturally.
I bet that would be an interesting thing. Well, just think of how less often your boss would bosses would get a hold of their people because they're like, do I really need to ping them right now? Because I'm going to make them get up and walk around their desk.
Maybe we can submit that to Google because heck knows that they'll be the first ones to implement that.
I would love to see the wellness programs at places like Google. I just think that would be a really interesting thing to see how that works because, yeah, definitely. And again, another reason for why we are physically changing is processed foods is a big one. Our food has more fat and more sugar and processed and preservative laden and convenient. So it's not whole, you know, and we're eating, you know, cruddy oil that our body has to process through in a lot of different ways too, or a lot of different things that we're eating. Lack of nutrition just in our food. There's just less nutrient dense. And I read something a while back, and I don't remember which magazine it was in, but it was talking about how Americans, the height of Americans is actually getting shorter. And they were saying that the theory behind why that was happening was because we just don't have nutrient-rich food and so much processed food. So I thought that was just interesting. So back to the doctor in the study, the doctor says that it may be about encouraging folks to sit less instead of running more 5Ks. That might be a good thing for public health. And I was just thinking about work. That's a lot, you know, a lot of like work programs. Part of what they do to help get people moving is running 5Ks, which it's a good thing to do that. I mean, I'm not saying it's a bad thing, but it is, and some workplaces do encourage walking meetings and then trying to figure out or coming in at the end and then writing down like all of the notes and the takeaways from the meeting. And, you know, you could have somebody who has a voice memo thing where you're talking, somebody could talk into that or something while you're doing the walking meeting. So it is figuring out how do we like change the culture and how do we make these things work so that the workers can actually do it. And I know listening to multiple workplaces, you've got like where you have staff and faculty, you know, the faculty have more flexibility and the staff is like, well, we only have a half an hour lunch hour, or we only have this amount of time and we don't have the flexibility to move. So we need to figure that out, sort of have these sort of socioeconomic castes or something within our workplaces too, which gets a little tricky, but it's an interesting thing to think about how to overcome. So this was an interesting point through this study too. So the doctor says that during hard workouts, your body takes quote unquote big gulps of energy as fast as it can from the fuel stored in the cells. But when you're walking or standing, they take their energy a sip at a time from the blood. So he says this is great for health, that this is actually ideal for those with diabetes because this can create fewer fluctuation of blood sugar through the day, which is, again, very good. I like in the study that he points out that so many of the studies that are done are on strenuous exercise, that we really don't have a lot of data on, again, the non-sweaty, super heart-pumping exercises. And the doctor kind of warns, which I appreciate this, is just because we don't have data on something doesn't mean it still isn't a good thing. Just no one's looked at it yet. We talk about that with food and nutrients and natural medicine and, you know, a lot of that kind of stuff. It's like, well, there's no money, there's no backing, there's no studies for some of these things. So just because we don't have the data, and sometimes the data is there, it's just really hard to find too. But just because it's not there out in the light doesn't mean it either doesn't exist or doesn't mean it isn't still good outcomes. We just may not know, have the studies to prove it. So just to kind of give a couple of the closing things that he says, that light exercise isn't necessarily so much the stepping stone to heavy exercise. In many ways, it's actually more important than the heavy exercises. Think the tortoise and the hare. Basically, the sustained activity is going to win the race. So we'll share these studies. We'll link to them in the show notes. And I want to just bring up one thing that kind of was part of my impetus for just being interested in this whole thing was a colleague of mine mentioned a book that some of the folks at her work had been reading. People who were actually more athletically trained were using these kind of bursts concepts and having like short movements and each hour. And they were knowing that they were discovering that it was affecting positively their athleticism, basically. So they were really gaining from it and they were already in shape. But the book is Beyond Training, Mastering Endurance, Health, and Life by Ben Greenfield. So we'll put a link to that on there too. So those are a few different ways of thinking about some things to consider if there are thoughts you haven't had before, or maybe reminders if that's what you need. And if you are somebody who struggles with either getting movement or getting movement that you think you need or feel you need, it provides options to maybe fit into your life and how you work. And I think it's important to recognize that. I know I read a book called The Sports Gene, which is a really interesting book, by the way. But it really talks about, so one of my favorite takeaways, which I'd love to do, is you can go get a genetic test, so they say, that tells you what your body is best suited for activities and sports, which would be really helpful. But it was a great look at how different our bodies are and how some people are just built to physically move all the time, like run. Like there was a woman in the book who, she runs like, I don't remember how many, I want to say it's a ridiculous amount, but it's like, you know, 40 miles a day. Whoa. Okay, that might be too much, but it's not really. She says, I can't sit in the car for 15 minutes. I need to move. And her son is like, yeah, I don't run nearly as much as my mom. I only run 18 miles a day, you know. But they talked about different working, how athletes work out, and how workout routines can be very different for different people, and how, yes, this is kind of the plan we have, but that doesn't work out for everybody. This person really can take the summer off and then really ramp back up in the fall. And this person, if they don't work out over the summer, they're just toast come the fall. I think, you know, Magic Johnson that they talked about, I believe it was Magic Johnson, who started playing basketball when he was quite a bit older, but it's like he found his thing. And so that, to me, it was just really fascinating. And I think it was just really helpful for me to sort of feel the really have that understanding, even though I know that, but we are really all built a little bit differently. And so it is what works for you. But the important thing is to figure out something that does work for you, because this is an important subject and it's something that people struggle with all the time. And so I do think options are important. Great book to check out. Definitely a good read.
And I just wanted to cut in with the author of the book. We'll certainly link to it in the show notes as well. But the title of The Sports Gene, the book you just talked about, was written by author David Epstein.
So there you have it. Thank you so much for joining and listening through our little conversation. Hopefully you found something that's helpful that you can take away or utilize for your own peace of mind or physical well-being. Join us again when I don't know what we're going to do next. We got a lot of things in the hopper right now. So so thank you again. And you can definitely check out the website at wellnessren.com and connect with us on Facebook at facebook.com/wellnessren. Thanks a lot. Have a fantastic day and be well.